I like this move, given the price, more than I like the Davante Adams move. Yeah, I don't think Amari is better than Davante, but he's 1/11th the cost, and they have, in my opinion, double the need. I think that while McDermott's defense can get exposed in the playoffs, over the bulk of a season, he's going to get the most out of his defensive players. And Josh Allen is going to give you top five production over the course of a season. And so I think it's a great move for Buffalo.
Nick Wright. Everybody likes the move. I don't even know what the argument would be against it other than you just think he's shot.
You want that third round pick for other things. It's about it. The need is so great, obviously. The need has been great. Everyone knew it. Everyone could see it.
Yeah. He's 30 years old. Like, that is that the problem? The age? The drops? Hey, let TRS Heating and Air Conditioning intercept your heating bills. Enter now, WGR550.com. Chance to win $1,200. TRS contest ends January 5th. TRS Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical Excellence, powering tomorrow, comforting today.
I have an Amari Cooper trivia question, but I'm going to get to Tim in Dallas because he was on earlier, and he called back, and we're going to go to Tim. Hey, Tim, good morning. Oh, are you there, Tim?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
You are. What's up, Tim?
I love the show, guys, by the way. Great segment and a great breakdown of Amari Cooper. If a lot of fans don't know him, it kind of reminds me when he went to Dallas and Dak didn't know what he had out on the outside as a weapon. But, he eventually started finding him 3-4 games.
Uh-oh.
I'm here. I'm sorry. But, yes, I just feel like, I don't know, question, man. Do you feel like we're missing one more piece to the puzzle if we're trying to make a run for the deep in the playoffs? Because you remember Allen when he was playing at a high level the year we lost to Kansas City, and he had that phenomenal game. So we had, like, four different guys he was throwing to, and they were good receivers. So I just want to get your opinion. I know it's a great acquisition, but I feel like we're missing one more guy to this offense.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. I mean, I had the same thought, that they don't have to be done. They could add another piece if they really needed to. This kind of gets them to where they realistically needed to be at a baseline for me.
They're kind of back to where they were a year ago.
Right, and a year ago, I thought they need to be better at receiver. So, I don't know if they need to make another move because Shakir, the blossoming has happened.
That's different than a year ago.
That's right.
Because Diggs and Shakir were never playing great at the same time.
That's right. And Coleman is upside for me. Like, there's a lot to think that Coleman can be used for. And, I mean, maybe they won't ever put him inside in the slot. A lot of people think he would be good there. And if
they take Shakir off the field, though, if you do that.
Just rotate him in. I mean, Shakir doesn't play 100% of the snaps. Samuels had that instead of having Coleman play on the outside 100% of the time, which is what they've done.
Right.
They give him 20% of the snaps in the slot.
Right, okay, yeah.
And the other thing I'm thinking about here is, the 12 versus 11 personnel. One of the things I had said yesterday was, I really need to never see Dawson Knox lined up out wide again. It happened in the Jet game. I just never need to see it. He caught a touchdown. Like, he can be my backup or my inline tight end. But putting him out wide is telling the entire defense this side of the field will not be used. And I don't think that's a good idea. You're telegraphing this. And the Bills, my biggest snark of yesterday was Amari Cooper. Think of him like a wide receiver. Right? Finally, you actually acquire a wide receiver to play wide receiver instead of a tight end that you want us to think of like a receiver. But if we did, his numbers are terrible. Again, like, that's Kincaid. Kincaid's numbers by wide receiver standards are not good. By tight end standards, they're fine. Think of James Cook like a receiver. No! I don't think like a receiver. And they did that when they got Amari Cooper. So I'm happy about that. I think that gets them to the baseline of what a Josh Allen offense should be. Multiple receivers that are good. And right now I'm at Shakir and Cooper are good, definitely good to above average. And Coleman is an upside guy. Samuel
is like just lost in the wilderness until maybe he gets healthier than he is right now.
I just think he's stuck in the gadget role. the Bills with Dorsey and now Brady, they get stuck with guys as a gadget.
But like the gadget's not working.
But that's the thing. Like, think about Deontay Hardy. When the Bills signed Deontay Hardy last year,
right,
tons of his highlights were throws over the top from Jameis Winston. Like, this guy can stretch the field. How did they use him? Gadget. He's a punt returning gadget.
And then eventually they just didn't.
Right.
Yeah.
They use their fast guys as gadgets instead of just receivers. Like, make that guy a receiver.
But even that, like, that's an interesting point, too, because, like, I agree with you. Hardy was this, and Samuel is a greater version of this. Samuel can do gadget stuff, but he is signed to $8 million a year because he does everything for you. He does a lot of different things for you. But even just focus on the gadget part. The gadget part's not working. And it didn't work with the few times maybe they tried it with Hardy. They did have that working when they had Isaiah McKenzie. But what lines up with that? Since Dable left, the gadget role in this offense does not do anything. Right? So even if you want to demote Curtis Samuel to, well, we're just going to do this stuff with him. Well, you haven't proven you can do this stuff since Brian Dable was your offensive coordinator. And Isaiah McKenzie's a fine player, but Curtis Samuel should be able to do the things that he did. So that's a player, though, that I still want to believe the foot is bothering him. He's been too good a player in the past. Better than what he's been this year, by leaps and bounds. Knowing he just had his best year week of his career, or week of the year, on a Monday. So, like, I feel good about all of it. I think it just all slots in well. Suddenly, to me, Samuel feels more like a bonus if he suddenly finds out, you know, finds something a little bit later in the year. And if I can get to the end of the year where Cooper is about as good as he was last year for the Browns, and Shakir is about as good as he was at the beginning of the year, Coleman doesn't even have to explode for me. Just Coleman be okay, make a play here and there.
A rookie upside guy.
Be a rookie upside guy, and Curtis Samuel can can he get to 70% of what he was for the Commanders? Because that would be great. Then I've got a good receiving core, and I've got, you know what? That combination, it's the optimistic view on every player, but that combination is better than what the Bills had at the end of last year at receiver.
803-0550. Quick Amari Cooper trivia, then we'll switch gears a little bit. I have a Sabres call to get to. I know I preview tonight's game a little bit. But you want some Amari Cooper instant trivia?
What do we got?
Top 10 receiving... What do I want here? Top 5. We'll do top 5.
Okay.
Receiving touchdowns at Alabama. While at Alabama. Amari Cooper is second. He had 31 touchdowns at Alabama. He went fourth overall.
Okay.
Who are the rest of the top 5 receiving touchdowns at Alabama?
Okay. Man, he only played there, I think, 2 years?
2012 to 2014, yep. 31 in 2 years.
Wow. Julio Jones.
Julio Jones is not correct. He had 15 in 2 years. That's a good guess.
Hey. Devontae Smith.
Number one.
Yeah.
46 touchdowns.
That's insane. I mean, he won the Heisman as a wide receiver, so. Okay.
Smith one, Cooper two.
How about is Henry Ruggs going to be right here?
Fourth. Okay. Henry Ruggs, 24 touchdowns. 2 years.
Oh, who's that receiving core? This was like a Tua point early in his career. It was like, he was only good at Alabama because he had NFL receivers. So it would have been Smith, Ruggs, and...
You'll get it.
Who's the third? Is it... It's not Waddle.
Waddle is eighth. He was there. The overlap on some of these guys is crazy.
I know.
Like in 2018, you had Devonta Smith, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, and this guy who's third with 26 touchdowns.
Oh, so there were four at the same time?
In 2018, they had four NFL receivers on their roster. And number five had just left.
Oh, man. So is he good in the NFL?
He's a disappointment. Currently plays...
He's a disappointment.
Former teammate of Amari Cooper in the NFL.
Oh, CeeDee Lamb.
No.
No, that's Oklahoma. Former teammate of Amari Cooper.
Very freshly.
Oh, Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy, third.
Jerry Jeudy.
And then fifth, with 19 touchdowns in 2 years.
Robert Foster.
No.
That's not correct. I know that's not correct. He was from Alabama, but he probably didn't do anything. And it's definitely a wide receiver, right? This isn't going to be like a running back or a tight end?
It's a wide receiver, yeah.
Okay.
Currently in the NFL. story of his week is he didn't catch any balls.
Story of his week is he didn't catch any balls. Who didn't catch any balls? Who had zero catches?
Zero. And
is he a top like fantasy guy?
He's a disappointment.
He's a disappointment. Who's a disappointment?
You'll get a good look at him this week.
Oh. Calvin Ridley?
Yep.
Calvin Ridley.
Calvin Ridley, right. Fifth. Waddle, 8th. Julio Jones, 10th. Jameson Williams, 11th. Jermaine Burton, 12th. John Mechie. Yeah. Najee Harris, 11 receiving touchdowns, way down the board.
I thought I was going to get to like a TJ Yeldon there or something. that I was trying to find a good name for this. I don't know if there is one. Like, for how long ago Amari Cooper played college football, even though he's only 30. Like, TJ Yeldon was the running back at Alabama. Eddie Lacy was at Alabama. Wow. Remember him?
Yeah.
He's been on the league for like 7 years, right? Really, you think about it, all those Bama receivers are maybe not as good as you thought they were going to be.
I don't know. I mean,
Julio was a Hall of Famer.
Waddle's good. Devonta Smith is really good.
Waddle's good, but Waddle has not really been... I don't know. I had higher hopes. I thought he was going to be like a top 10, 5 receiver, and maybe that's just Tyreek Hill's in front of him.
It's part
of
it.
But he's always on and off the field. But maybe this is just a fantasy point, because I've had him in fantasy, and he's been a disappointment.
Yeah. 803-0550. Go back to the phones here. Paul in Buffalo. Good morning, Paul.
I see no reason not to be optimistic, because if I've learned anything from the New York Mets, is that a season can turn on a dime. And they were once 22-33, 11 games under 500. And the great Francisco Lindor called a team meeting, Jim to lead off, and they've been going on all cylinders since then. Personally, I don't know if it was a year ago or 2 years ago, but I called for Dahlin to throttle one of his forwards on this radio station. And, well, he throttled one of his forwards. And you never know what can galvanize a team. So, you know, let's see it. And you know, props to Jordan Greenway, who I've said many times, 2 out of 10 games, he looks like a superstar. We've seen him look like a superstar. Let's see him look like a superstar again. Then let's see him look like a superstar again. If Lindy can get consistency out of Jordan Greenway, he can really change the dynamic of this team, because besides being capable, he also is a physically imposing man that scares other NHL hockey players. Make no doubt about it. Everyone in the league knows he went toe-to-toe with Tom Wilson at the end of last year. So here's to hoping, and I think we have maybe a goalie battle, because Devin Levi looks so good so far this year. So let's go, Sabres. I flip my flag back to right side up. So, you know, you got me for now. Have a good day, guys.
Yeah, thanks, Paul.
The goalie point, I definitely agree.
Listen, the thing about the goalie point is that they paid Lukanen, and
That's fine. You can pay Lukanen, but if Levi is winning you games and is the better goaltender like midway through the year, then he's your starting goaltender.
Yeah.
Does that happen to Boston? Boston paid Linus Ullmark. Jeremy Swayman was the kid. Took him 2 years. So a little longer. But eventually, who was the starting goalie? Jeremy Swayman. And then you trade him. That's not a bad result, by the way. That's not a bad outcome. It could go the exact same way. I mean, I don't want to compare it every time to that, but it just feels so similar to what Boston did. And what did Boston do? They had two good goalies, and it'll come time to pay Levi eventually if he continues to play amazing, and you'll have to make a decision. Do you want two highly paid goalies? Or if Lukanen is still playing well, it's not a bad problem to have. But man, yeah, I'm all in on Levi right now. Every sign in the world to me says he's going to be a star goalie in the league. And that might be happening right now. It's only 2 games. But goals saved above expected, I think he's already like top 5 in the league.
Well, it'd be nice if they...
In total, not even like per 60, right. Like total, and he's only played 2 games.
It'd be nice if they sustained a little bit of momentum. You know, the win on Saturday is cool. It's great. Win some road games, beat some bad teams.
And also, Pittsburgh is a team you're probably fighting for a playoff spot with down the stretch of the year. So I'd like the Sabres to win some season series against teams they're going to be in direct competition with.
Yeah.
You're going to be fighting with Pittsburgh. Beat them 3 times this year, and you'll have a lot better chance of making the playoffs. You're stealing points from them. It's down the road, but you're probably not getting a top three spot in your division. You're probably fighting with teams in the other division for wildcard spots. And this is one of the teams you should probably expect you'll be fighting with in 5 months for a wildcard spot, if you're good.
Fireman Ed says the Jets are phasing him out of their games. I thought he quit a couple years ago.
I think they brought him back, though.
Yeah.
I saw him on the screen a couple times at the stadium on Monday. Not like a ton. It's not like every third down or anything. They're phasing him out?
That's what he claims. Says something's going on with the production at the team level at the stadium. They're showing him less and less.
Is it Rodgers?
Maybe.
Rodgers wants him off the screen. Man, they really... You like the trade for them, Adams?
I don't
dislike it.
I absolutely like it. It's how the NFL should be. It's how your fantasy league is.
Yeah.
You know, fantasy and reality don't have to be too far apart. It's the NFL trade deadline has, I mean, the deadline's a month away, or a little less than a month away, but hockey, the deadline is the lamest thing on earth.
Oh, it's so lame now.
And it gets so much attention. Ooh, they got a fourth line guy to win a faceoff for a future seventh. Congratulations. Amari Cooper and Devontae Adams just got traded.
Mm-hmm. No, the NFL deadline blows away the NHL.
Yeah, we now have normalization of NFL trades. It used to be, whoa, why can't we do this? And the answer was, well, it takes too much time to get ready. Forget that. This is how it should be. And if you're a team with the longest playoff drought in sports, and you're like 2-4, man, it's not gone well for us. But look at the AFC. We might not be the Bills or the Texans or the Ravens or the Chiefs, but who else is there?
Is that their bar, though? Like, Is it different? Like, I don't want to compare them to I'll compare them to the Sabres. They're the two teams in North American sports with the longest playoff droughts. The difference to me might be Sabres made the playoffs this year. Nobody is going to care in the world what they do when they get there. Do the Jets consider it a success if they just squeak in?
They should.
I don't know they will, though.
Making the playoffs is good.
What's the condition they put in the trade for Adams? The condition was they make the AFC Championship game.
Right, which they probably won't have to pay. So even better.
Right.
They get him for a third?
But that's... The owner every week is talking about how his roster is built to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, well, that guy might be delusional.
He probably is. But I mean, that's where, like, this is why I kind of like the trade, is if the team fails, it won't be because of the Adams trade. But, man, I would love so much to see the Rodgers criticism after. And there will be no excuses. They're giving him everything he wants.
Yeah.
They've turned over the team to him. He makes a comment about Mike Williams in postgame about how he ran the wrong route. And did anyone else think, well, interesting, Rodgers throwing a teammate under the bus the next day he's replaced?
Yep.
Rodgers' fingerprints is on every single thing that's happening in that organization. What? And if it doesn't work, oh, it's going to be so golden.
Oh, if it doesn't work, we'll be what, the Jets still? Like, what's the alternative life?
Well, then they'll be starting over again. Which is fine. Right.
That's like the Sabres. Don't make this trade. Well, what if we make the playoffs? What if you don't? We're living the same life.
I'm not saying that I think it's a bad move for them. I'm saying that it does set up Rodgers to be embarrassed further if the whole thing doesn't work.
Well, I'm good for that, too.
Yeah.
Did you see the Eagles and Bengals got flexed out of a 425 window for...
Wait, what did? Eagles and Bengals?
Eagles-Bengals got moved out of a 425 big window.
Oh, it better be good, because that's a decent matchup, right? Eagles-Bengals?
Yeah, they're two pretty annoying teams.
But it's not like it's the Panthers.
No, Eagles-Bengals flexed out. Flexed in?
Oh, it's going to be Chiefs, right?
No, better. It's a good one. It's a good move.
Flexed in is going to be... Is it a Ravens game?
Nope.
What is that? I haven't looked at the schedule this week.
I don't know if it's this week. When is it?
Oh.
NFL week 8, maybe. It's because you got to do 10 days in advance. I believe it is week 8. Yeah, Eagles-Bengals is now 1 o'clock, and moving from 1 o'clock to the 425 window is Bears-Commanders.
Oh.
Let's go.
That's a good call. That's a great call.
Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
Let's go.
That's a great, great call. Did you see the top four teams in the NFC in point differential are all in the NFC North?
Yeah. And they have not played.
Maybe in the league. Maybe it's in the league.
It's the whole league.
Yeah, it's the whole league?
It's the whole league.
Wow. And the Commanders' offense is like the funnest thing to watch.
It's a wagon. Yeah. And their defense is terrible.
That's such a good decision. Yep. I don't need to see the Eagles.
No, you don't.
And their goon of a coach trolling his own fans on the sidelines. Did you see that?
I did.
What? What would it be like? I do actually, you know, the absurdity of it. I would like to know what it's like for a coach like that to be your team's coach.
And now,
how are you supposed to feel after you win a game where you kind of stunk, right? You barely beat the Browns.
Yep.
And then your coach is parading up and down the sidelines like a lunatic, trolling your own fans.
And then in the postgame, bringing his child to sit in his lap as a human shield.
That's
what a lot of the takeaway was. I saw, maybe it was Chris Canty, somebody on one of the debate shows, maybe it was Marcus Spears, like, Bush league move.
Yeah.
Derek points out, when it's Bears Commanders, the Bills play at Seattle that day, so it's now a competing game, so maybe it's not as good. But whatever, it's better for everybody else. Red zone, for the
collective. Yeah.
803-0550, Sabres and Penguins tonight. Exciting. Get a win. Get things rolling. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.